There's no one answer as to why we're building bigger houses. For some people, it's a matter of investing. Housing prices continue to rise, and bigger houses sell well. People trade up. But for some homebuyers, it's more than that. It's a statement. Lynn Egbert is the CEO of the Michigan Association of Home Builders.
A lot of that could be a status symbol. Move out of the city, move into a rural-like area because I've made it, because this is my dream. It used to be people would move up, sell their homes every 7 to 10 years. That's changed now, and the sale of homes is now 3 to 5 years. You build up the equity in a new home or in an existing home, you have the opportunity to build or move into something else later. It is an investment.
Investing in a house only explains some of the reason houses are getting larger. Another reason is government. Local governments are zoning residential areas into large lot subdivisions. Egbert says that means the builder has to build a big house just to recoup the cost of the sizable piece of land.
That is a preclusion, a prohibition against smart growth. When they have large lot sizes, it absolutely dictates and mandates that anybody that moves in there is going to have a large home.
It's an attempt by towns to keep out lower-income people who might build homes that lower the property values of a neighborhood. But there's a demand for the bigger houses, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. So cities and towns zone for them, builders build them, and people buy them, bigger and bigger. Linda Grote is a professor at the University of Michigan's Taubman College of Architecture. She says it's not too surprising. People feel less connected to the community at large because they move often, drive somewhere else to work, and see their home as a refuge. Home is where they can relax and escape from the rest of the world.
There may be, on the part of some people, a feeling of need to really make it more of a castle to compensate for what feels more complicated or out of control in the larger world.
We feel we need private places that we can call our own. But there might be social costs to that refuge. There's often little interaction with neighbors and the rest of the community in which we live. And Grote says even within the home, all that space means family members don't have to bump into each other on the way to the bathroom. Grote says in the new large suburban homes, sometimes derisively called McMansions, everyone can pursue their own activities in different parts of the house.
If you buy a McMansion and the master bedroom is off on one wing and or a different floor, and the kids are off in huge rooms way on the other side of the house, is that really going to foster family connection?
Some architects are becoming aware the scale of housing is beginning to leave smaller families with a sense of emptiness, not a sense of space. Sarah Susanka is one of the leaders in a movement to reevaluate the concept of whether bigger is really better. The first question is, why? Why are we building bigger houses?
Well, there's obviously a large market for larger and larger homes, and my belief is that people are trying to fill a void in their lives with the only tool that we've really defined for ourselves in this culture, which is more stuff, more square footage, you know, more indication that we've arrived, all that stuff.
But Susanka says there's a longing underneath all that, an idea that there should be some better quality of life that's not being satisfied by just more square footage. She's the author of a series of books that started with one entitled The Not-So-Big House. She argues that people can use the money they'd spend on additional square footage for space that's rarely used for better designed spaces where they actually live day to day. She says if the house is an investment, then it should be an investment in quality craftsmanship and better living, not just more space.
When something is thrown together and it just is sort of raw space but not much else, over time it's going to degenerate. And the amount of square footage obviously has a direct correlation with the amount of resources it takes to build it. So by making something that's tailored to fit you, in other words, not with excess material, and that's going to last a long time, that should be the first step in sustainable design.
So you suspect a lot of these McMansions or starter castles, as you call them, mm-hmm. aren't going to be around very long.
Yeah, I think in the long haul, those are not going to survive in the same way and are probably not going to be looked after in the same way over time, just because they're not as well put together and they don't have the the charm that's going to make somebody want to look after them in the future.
Susanka says using resources for bigger houses is not environmentally friendly and does not necessarily mean better living. She says builders and home buyers should think about it this way. Build the space you need and do it well, and do it in a way that somebody in the future will want to preserve. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.